Subtler the object is, it has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Like light, how will you define the word light? What is light? Even though you see everything in light, the very seeing takes place in light, the seen have their existence in light, all the opaque seen objects have their existence in very light. Well, seeing of the opaque objects is possible because of the very existence of the light. So seeing everything in light itself, if we do not know what this object called light is, what is that which is light? And if we say, oh, that because of the presence of which, in the presence of which alone you see everything, the seeing of every opaque object is possible because of the presence of which, that is what is light, if we say also, you understand something. And what is that light? We say, oh, that which illumines everything, that without which nothing can be illumined, nothing becomes to light, that is what is light. Then the question may come, oh, is it the illuminator? Oh, the light is the illuminator. Yes, light is the illuminator. At the same time, we cannot say light is the illuminator. Why you can't say light is the illuminator? Because already we have said, I told you in the previous session, a illuminating is not an action. You had a will involved action. Like how we meet somebody as an eater. This person is an eater, this person is a runner, this person is a jumper. We say this, why? Because they do the given action. And here, is there any such action called action of illumination? Illuminating takes place, you know. Is there an action? No, there is no such an action. And what do we call it? If that is how the light is. That it exists, okay, and in its presence, everything comes to light. That is how light is. And that is how it is means what? Okay, therefore, we can say there is nothing else other than the light, which is the illuminator. But still light, because light is the illuminator. Why? Because illuminating is not an action. That means what? Swarupam. Remember the word swarupam. So how do you understand light? You say illuminator of everything is the light. You say, that means when you say that sentence, you mean in terms of its swarupam. You understand light in terms of its swarupam. This is how the light is. Okay? Because of which everything comes to light. Therefore, illuminator of everything is the light. When you say, you understand light in terms of its swarupam. Similarly, subtlest substance, the reality also, how do you understand the reality? Reality in terms of its swarupam. Okay? See, idho jagataha satyam. Jagataha karanam, that vastu you understand here. That is why even yesterday I was reading in Gita Bhashyam, where in talking about Kripanaha, Shankara quotes a Shruti from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Hey Gargi, yetad aksharam aviditva yaha asmat lokat praiti saha Kripanaha. The one who leaves this body, you know, departs from this world without knowing the self, you know, without knowing this self. Now he is a Kripana, something he says. You mean, why this aksharam? Because the reality of the whole universe is what? Is this self. Understand? Why? Because this, look at this, the nearest self. What is nearest for the wave? H2O. Understand? What is which is nearest? Similarly, what is it which is nearest for this mind? Antahkaranam, awareness. Understand? Not simply awareness, we call it pure awareness. There's no distance. That is why we say this, this self. Okay, that's why we say the self. So the reality of the jagat has to be understood. First we saw it's available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. Okay, not as an object of knowledge. I mean, it's available for recognition as the subject of knowledge means, subject of knowledge is the knower, not the known. And therefore you understand what is the subject of knowledge, you arrive at who is that knower, what is that knower, what is there as the knower. When you arrive at the knower, this negating, using this native thing, using this drik drishyaveka prakriya, how everything is drishyam, and you arrive at what is the drik, you negated even what? The antahkaranam. Even this, every thought form you have, every thought form which forms a part of the antahkaranam also has been negated as what? Drishyam. As the known, an object of knowledge. Because you are looking for subject of knowledge. Then you say, this is how the mind is. You understand mind is of the nature of undergoing these three states of experience. It is, you know, constantly it undergoes a change. There is a waking state, there is a dream state, there is a deep sleep state. This is how it constantly it undergoes. Mind cannot be asleep always. Mind cannot keep awake. That is why all of us doze now. We need sometimes, okay? And sometimes we in between we have to dream also. This is the nature of the mind. This is how the mind is. And these changes taking place on the part of the antahkaranam is known. So what is that in the presence of which, okay, this change is taking place on the part of the mind in terms of its states, you know, becomes known is what? You say the knower of the mind. And knower of the mind, you say, this is what is subject of knowledge. You say, no, you arrived at what? Knower of the mind. Or knower of antahkaranam is knower of every thought. Knower of the am thought being there. The knower of the am thought being not there. The knower of is thought being there. The knower of is thought being not there. The knower of the for active mind, the knower of the passive mind, the knower of the dreaming mind, and so the dream, this knower is in fact nothing other than, you know, pure awareness. That is where we ask, is awareness knower then? Awareness is not the knower. Consciousness is not the knower. But there is no other knower other than consciousness. Therefore, this is why it is knowing then. This is how awareness is. What is this knowing? Knowing is Swarupam. This word, that is why in Tamil all literature, Arive, Vadiva, Arive, Devamaha, we Arivu, Arivu. You know, we always talk about Arivu. Okay, Arivu means knowledge in Tamil. Okay, Arivu, now we say knowledge. No, Jnana Swarupaha. Jnana Swarupam Brahma. Jnana, understand? So knowing is Swarupam. This word, now how you have understood reality? Reality you have understood in terms of its Swarupam. What is Swarupam? Knowing. Knowing is what? This Swarupam, not an action. Therefore, what you cannot say? Consciousness is the knower, you cannot say, but there is no other knower other than consciousness. The knower is consciousness. Therefore, we understand, we arrived at subject. What is subject now? Knower is the subject. And what is this knower subject? Consciousness. Is there subject then? Is consciousness subject? No. Consciousness is not the subject, but the subject is what? Consciousness. Now what you have to mean, understanding this is what? Resolving the subject in awareness. Resolving the knower in awareness. Now you arrived at consciousness. As pure consciousness. This is how that this methodology helps you. Swarupam. then we can have, some people will say, okay, this is, after understanding this half-baked little bit of Vedanta knowledge, okay, we're going to one class of Drishyaveka Prakriya, oh, everything seen is anatma, atma, no, consciousness is the atma. We say that, I tell you, if you say, then even duality will be their problem. And you have to say, this consciousness, knower is consciousness. Understand now? Look at this. Knowledge is consciousness, and known also is consciousness. You have to say this. Consciousness is not the knower, but knower is consciousness. What about the knowledge? There is no distance. Understand? Existence of knower is the existence of the knowledge. Without the knower, can there be knowledge? Tell me. Can there be such a thing called knowledge? Without the knower, arigiravan illamal arivu erpada mudiyuma. Can there be knowledge without the knower? There cannot be knowledge without the knower. Therefore, existence of knower is the existence of the knowledge. Understand? Therefore, knower is the very existence of the knowledge. Look at this. Therefore, knower is as good as the cause. Knowledge is as good as the effect. Look at this now. Just as there's no distance between cause and the effect, there's no distance between the knower and the knowledge. Understand? We say, effect is the cause. Cause is not the effect. Now first we said, consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness. Now we say, without the knower, knowledge cannot be there. Therefore, knower is not the knowledge, but the knowledge is another than the knower. Knowledge is knower. And not only knowledge, the known. Okay? Look at this. Existence of knowledge is the existence of the known. Without the knowledge, okay, the known cannot have the status of being an existent. Without the knowledge. An unknown object is as good as non-existent. Therefore, the known is what? Known has the status of being an existent, no? Because of the knowledge. Therefore, we say knowledge is as good as the cause and known is as good as the effect. Understand? Then when you say cause is not the effect, but the effect is nothing but the cause, when you say known also is what now? Knowledge. Understand? Therefore, known, ultimately if you see, knower is awareness. Knowledge is awareness. Look at this. Known also is awareness. That's why we have to be very clear. Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya and this Neti method, Paddhati is only used to distinguish the subject from the object, to arrive at the knower subject and then resolve the knower in awareness, to arrive at the reality in terms of its sorupam. Why do you have to search for the knower? Why do you have to search for the subject of knowledge? Because Shastram tells, okay, a reality of the whole jagat is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. Therefore, subject of knowledge is the knower. I had to search for the knower, okay? And therefore everything is known, cannot be taken for the knower. Therefore, to arrive at the knower, first negated the known. Understand? As the object. Then when once you arrived at the knower and you also then you see you knower means arriving at the knower, you understand the reality in terms of its sorupam. Why do I have to arrive at the knower? Because only when you arrive at the knower, the subject of knowledge, you understand the reality in terms of its sorupam being pure knowledge, knowing. This is very important. That's all. Otherwise, and you have to say, the awareness is Atma, the self. And what about the known? Okay, awareness is, you can deduce now, knower is the Atma. What about the knowledge and the known? Anything which is an object of knowledge is anatma. Look at this, awareness alone, subject of knowledge. The knower is Atma when you say. What about the object of knowledge? Everything and anything which has been reduced as an object of knowledge is anatma. Now we have to say Atma is as good as the Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. You say this. Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. Now what is Anatma? The whole Jagat is Anatma, you know that. And you have to include into the Jagat, your own physical body, your own antakarnam, your own pranas, your own everything you have reduced now. Other than pure awareness, pure consciousness. Everything you have reduced into what now? The Jagat. It's also part of the Jagat. And this Anatma, this whole Jagat is what now? Subtle or gross? Material in nature. Okay, material product. It's a product of the matter. And this subtle and gross, you know, subtle body, gross body, which is inclusive of what? Which is now included in this subtle and gross universe. The whole is Jagat is what? An object of knowledge. That is why the Jagat is called Lokaha. In Sanskrit language, see the beauty of it, why the world is called Lokaha. There is no explanation in English language why the world is called world. But in Sanskrit we have why Lokaha? Lokyate iti Lokaha. That which is seen, perceived is the world. Look at this. That means definitely perceiver is not the world. Look at this. Perceived is the world. Lokyate iti Lokaha. That which is seen, that which is perceived is the universe. That means the whole Jagat is an object of knowledge is what? Jagat. Material in nature, it is Jagat. Perceiver is not the Jagat. Perceived is the universe, Lokaha. Understand? And Lokanathaha is what? Perceiver. Understand? We say Tamil Ulahanathan, Lokanathan, okay? Lokanathaha, Vishwanathaha is what? We say the perceiver. Perceiver is that. And now we can say this perceiver, the knower of the loka, the objects is Atma, Satyam. The known is Anatma, which is Mithya. Now we say the Satya Atma is as good as the cause. Mithya Anatma is what? As good as the effect. Then we can say, is there a distance between Satyam and Mithya? There is no distance. Therefore, Atma is not Anatma, Brahma is not Jagat, but Anatma, Mithya, Jagat is nothing but Satya, Atma. Anatma, understand now? Satya Atma is not Mithya Jagat, Anatma Jagat, but Anatma is nothing but Satya Atma. That is why I have to say Atma is not the physical body, but the physical body is Atma. Be very clear. Don't say this is not me. Don't say that. It's wrong to say that. Nothing is non-wanted. Everything is, we have to say, Atma is not the body, but the body is Atma. Atma, Chaitanyam, is not the pranas, but the pranas are Atma. Atma is not the powers of sense organs, but every power of sense organ is nothing but the Atma. Atma is not the powers of organs of actions, but all the powers of organs of actions are Atma. Understand, Atma is not the antahkarnam mind. Antahkarnam is Atma. Atma is not anger. Atma is not desire. Atma is not jealousy. Atma is not anything, but everything is Atma. Understand, desire is Atma. Anger is Atma. Everything is Atma. Like water is not the way, but every way is nothing but water. Now what you have to say, all that is there is only vastu. Jagat is as though. Jagat is as though, all that is over there is only vastu, Brahma, which is Atma, understand, the self, and you can say, Jagat is not tucham, Jagat is not unreal, it is as though. It is mithya. Because sometimes people say this, okay, I am not the body, so Atma is not the body. What is it then? You have to account for this, okay, it's there. Very, very wrong thing. You have to say body is Atma. Everything is Atma. Entire anatma jagat is Satya Atma only. Satyam Brahma. Brahmatma. Understand? That is why to have this. So first understanding is important. This drik drishya viveka prakriya. That is why we say here this pramanam. I told you this morning how pramanam means prakrishena manam. Prakrishena mati. One who measures accurately, that through which one measures accurately is pramanam. When you say, the any means of knowledge is said to be pramanam. And the one who knows, the knower is who? You say pramata. Okay? An object of knowledge is called prameyam. And now we say, hey, you discover the pramata, then you see the pramata, pramanam, and the prameyam. Okay? Object of knowledge. Knowledge and subject of knowledge, everything has to be reduced what now? It's called Triputi. Understand? The three in one. Okay? All the three are what now? We say one. Three in one. Okay? All the three are one. Everything is one. And this is the greatest vision. Okay? This is what is the asset. This vision of the oneness of reality, this is very 100% a fact. There's no blabbering involved, nothing is involved, and this fact has to be ascertained. It has to be understood, and it has to be, even to understand this fact, to make efforts to understand this fact, this much, you know, somewhere, some sort of introduction is required. That is why I've been talking to this whole Vedanta for many classes, many, many months and years. The very introduction is very important. And this is a fact, and this fact has to be understood. Once the fact is understood, the reality, nature of the reality, understood in terms of its swarupam. Please understand, underline this, inverted commas, okay? In terms of its swarupam alone, reality can be understood. If you understand reality in any other way, not in terms of swarupam, you have not understood the reality. You can say that. Shastran says it. No, I have understood reality. I got that vision, this vision, I saw that, I see this. I tell you, other than this, okay, anything else you see in your dream or any other vision you have, meditation, anything happens, okay, they're all your own projections. All your fancied projections, okay? Objects which you fancy come as some sort of things. Any experience, now tell me, is enlightenment, now let me come to this, that's why, what is self-knowledge now? Self-knowledge is something which happens on one fine day. One fine day, you all have to go and sit under the Bodhi tree, like Buddha, and sit in meditation, and suddenly something happens. Sit in meditation, something happens. Something happens means that it's not jnana, okay? It's just seeing. You either see or you do not see. And here just seeing. Now you understand where you are seeing everything. Where seeing is possible. Seeing of everything is possible. Knowing of everything is possible. Understand? What is that vastu in which knowing takes place? In which know, everything is possible. That is what is the reality. For to understand that, you don't need to really, you know, it's not something happening. That is why many people celebrate in this day of enlightenment of a Mahatma. That becomes a big function nowadays in many ashrams. That is why I'm saying, people think one fine day enlightenment takes place. And they celebrate this day of enlightenment. It's a function organized. So what do we get, if at all we go in the function of enlightenment day, do we become enlightened? No, that is what I'm saying. That is why enlightenment is not something which happens on one fine day suddenly. It's like, you know, understand it. This Shastra makes it very clear. Okay, this pure awareness and pure consciousness, what is this pure consciousness? You know the word consciousness, you know the word awareness. What exactly that word implies? And that for that one, the vastu, okay, the substance indicated or implied by that one word is never available for objectification. Can you see consciousness as object of knowledge? Can you ever see the awareness as an object of knowledge? Awareness can never be an object of knowledge. Understand? That is why awareness, pure awareness is the reality, pure consciousness is the reality, that is the self, the subject is available for recreation only as the subject of knowledge when we say, please understand, in fact, the knowing itself takes place in that presence of consciousness, because that is the very surup of the reality. That is why we say pure consciousness is never an object of knowledge. That is why no, it is not being not an object of knowledge. Awareness being not an object of knowledge. It is not, no word can directly, no, that's why we say no word can really indicate it, what it is. Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha. In Taittiriya, no, it says apraapya manasasaha. Words go and try to reveal the consciousness, reveal the reality. So they try, and they say the words try, words go, no word, every word says, reveals something. Every object of knowledge, very close, it goes closer and closer and closer, it goes up to the mind, oh this is mind. After the mind, now the word comes back. Why? No word can reveal, understand? No word can indicate awareness. An object of knowledge alone can be indicated by or through a given word. The pure awareness being not an object of knowledge, that is why no word goes near. Words come back, incapable of revealing the reality. Understand now? So, it is always has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Not an object of knowledge, therefore, it has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. That is why, paunapunyena shravanam, again and again and again, when you listen, the mind becomes, you know, subtler and subtler. The subtlety of the mind is in such, becomes such that is able to grasp, okay, its own sorupu. So only understand. And here we have this, the Hastamalaka, Hastamalakiya Bhashyam. Actually speaking, I'm not going to complete the whole text here, but we started and we'll come back and complete also, whenever we meeting again. See, Hastamalakiyam is a bhashyam by Adi Shankaracharya. why the Bhashyam, Bhashyam means commentary. Okay, Sanskrit language Bhashyam means, in English is a commentary. Adi Shankaracharya's, you know, Shankara Bhagavad Pada's commentary is called, Shankara Bhashyam on anything. And here, Shankara has commented upon some verses. And there are 12 verses. And these 12 verses, in fact, came out of the mind of, spontaneously came out of the mind of one great Acharya called Hastamalaka Acharya. So we don't even have proper name, okay? Hastamalaka Acharya is the name of great Acharya, one of the Acharyas. Hastamalaka Acharya. And he was the disciple of Adi Shankara. And Shankaracharya wrote commentary for, commentary on those verses of his own Sishya. That is why it's a very great thing. Always the Sishyas write commentary for the Guru's works. But Guru never writes commentary for Sishya's work. And here is Ulta, okay? This is only Hastamalaka Acharya's, only 12 verses he had. And Shankara wrote Bhashyam on his Sishya's work. Hastamalaka Acharya. Okay? And Hastamalakiyam is the name of a Bhashyam. That means how great these verses must be. For a teacher, for a great Acharya like Shankara, you know, great, you know. And he wrote Bhashyam for his Sishya's work, means this verse, these verses must be very great verses. And there's also a story, okay, a lot of, this story goes like this. There was a couple living near a place called Kollur. Kollur is a place in Karnataka, state of India, South India. And near that Kollur was a big, beautiful, nice temple, Mukambika temple, and where even Adi Shankara went and worshipped and all that. And near that, in interior, there is a village called Sribali. The name of the village is Sribalihi. And in that village, actually, this couple actually live, husband and wife, they were living in that village. They didn't have really children for many years. And afterward, they're praying to Bhagavan and all that. They made a lot of prayers and pujas and they performed havans and all that. At last, a result of some punyam, and then they got a child. They got a baby. Okay? And that boy was growing up. And when the child was growing up, maybe when this child started crawling, those days, women had to go to the riverside or the wells to draw water. I mean, talk about those days in India, really, real India of those days. And this mother had to carry this baby, to draw water. And on the river bank, don't ask me whether I've seen all these things, okay? I only heard from elders. And then there was a river, and on the bank of the river, Then always in India, if any river bank, when you see some Mahatma sitting meditating and sitting quietly like that, doing japam and contemplation, all you can always see some people. Those days, don't go search for nowadays. Okay, and you can also find some fake swamis also. So those days, and then what happened? One yogi used to sit and meditate all the time there, and this lady took the baby, and then the crawling, very naughty child also not. Okay, they left the child there on the bank of the river, and she went with her pot to fill her pot with water. As she was filling, the child which was there on the bank of the river came crawling. Somehow went into the water, fell into the water. In fact, child just drowned. And within a second, child died. The body was floating. Okay, and immediately this woman just took the water, they put the water pot, and she took the baby, because after so long they did not have children, this child, they got as a result of punya, the prayers and all that, and she started crying and weeping. It's an ordinary woman who's attached to her child. You can imagine how the Indian woman makes a lot of problems, okay? And she was crying and all that, and this yogi who was sitting there on the bank of the river in meditation, he got disturbed. And he saw, and this man really, as a yogi, understood the parabdha of the child is over, the child came now for a very short while. Parabdha is over, he quit the body and left. But he did not know, as a highly compassionate, sadhu minded person, naturally, he couldn't help. He didn't know how to console this woman. He can't talk Vedanta to that woman, you see. Come on, Atma is imperishable. And body is subject to death. One day or the other, body will die. Tomorrow you will die. And I will die. And all the bodies will fall. Don't worry over this. He can't tell this, such a crying woman. And he didn't know what to do. And he was really, sadhus are very, very compassionate. Very compassionate. They can't stand others seeing others suffering, okay? They'll go to any extent and to help and to take the pain. They'll try because they can be objective also. That's one of the reasons. They can take the pain because they can be objective. Don't think sadhus are fools to take others' pains, okay? They can be objective, therefore they can take others' pains. And this sadhu, what he did, immediately he just left his body, he entered into that body. Even to have that siddhi, one must have the siddhi shakti, to be able to leave one's body and to enter into other's body. Can we do that? We don't need to do that, okay? Our own body is dirty. The situation was such, and he left. But nowadays, I tell you, if it is possible, all the old people, they will leave their old bodies and get into all youngsters' bodies. But you have to look for very healthy, strong young bodies. No, you can't. It's very difficult. So what happened? They entered. Then that body became alive. The sukshma shariram now can travel from one body to another body, which is not possible. It's a siddhi shakti. Okay. This person, because of meditative powers, he could do that. And he entered into others' body. Then what happened to that body? The Jai's body became alive. Look at this. Sukshmaram is Mahatmas. Sthulam is the child. Understand now? The mature mind, highly mature mind in a child's body. Then this mother really didn't understand what happened. Okay, she could not really understand. It's too subtle and abstract for her to understand or appreciate. For her, no. Thank God, my prayers worked. Okay, somehow she picked up the baby and she went home. But what happened? This child was growing up in her family, in her house. But this child started behaving very funny, Child was not behaving like a child. Now he wouldn't ask for food, he wouldn't cry, he was not all naughty, not mischievous, very disciplined, very quiet and calm, unusual. It's like, see, imagine a monkey goes and sits quietly all the time. The mother couldn't really believe what to do, And said, not only that, she was not even talking much. See, her Mahatma, nothing to talk much, He was very mature, very objective. He was not talking much, not doing anything, so disinterested, very, very young boy. Imagine, he was growing up like that, the child became 13-year-old. We became a really pain of parents, okay? Both mother and father always unhappy. My God, we prayed and we got a child, and he's like, he's a dull-witted person, doesn't talk, doesn't play, is not active. What is this? Dull boy, my God. And in all these villages, in India, always believe, if any Mahatma comes, and we go and fall at the feet of Mahatma and have their darshanam, because of their jnanam and by their vision, something might work. This child might turn to be, maybe he come out of some psychological problem. They thought this child was psychologically, affected child. So they took this boy, 13-year-old boy, they heard about, they really worried. And that was the time Adi Shankaracharya was going on Digvijayam. Digvijayam means he was visiting all different parts of India. And he was going to visit the Sribali village, because Sribali is very close to Kallur, and Kallur is very close to Sringeri Mutt. Maybe he must have been camping in Sringeri Mutt, establishing, working at that time. And he must have gone there. And when Adi Shankara was going to visit that village, Sribali, Adi Shankara goes means every village, how they be receiving, welcoming Mahatmas in India. You should see that. It's amazing. And so here, all the villagers are organizing to receive Shadi Shankaracharya to their village. And somebody went and told his parents, come and take your son and please let him, you visit him, have Shadi Shankara's darshanam. So this boy might know something might happen. So he'll be okay. And this boy was very happy. He was waiting for Adi Shankara to come. And they took this boy to Adi Shankara came and the parents took him there. And Adi Shankara also knew. Look at this. A jnani can know another jnani. He saw, Adi Shankara saw, but he understood, he thought how to make, he knew, Adi Shankara knew this young boy was, you know, really evolved, elevated, you know, evolved person, soul, he knew that. But how to make other people understand, how to make his parents understand, you know? He asked in front of all the people. His parents didn't, you know, complain to him, look at this. This boy, 13-year-old, doesn't even speak, doesn't even answer anything, doesn't ask for food, all the time dull he is, what do with him, please bless him, now do something, you know, show some way. No, they're really worried and concerned. Adi Shankara was so quiet and calm, and he understood, hey, this is the person, now, it is the time, look at this, how time works. And he asked, Adi Shankara asked this boy, Bala, Kastvam, it's Adi Shankara's Sanskrit, okay? He spoke in Sanskritam. No? Bala, Kastvam, Kahatvam, okay? Who are you? Kimevam Jadavat Pravartate, Pravartate. What is it you are behaving? No? Kimevam Jadavat Pravartate. Why do you behave like an inert object? You don't speak and don't answer anything. Why do you behave like this? That's all. Two questions. Kastvam kimevam jadavat pravartate. Why do you behave like an inert object? Why are you not lively? Okay? Why don't you show your life? Express your life, this, your life. And what he said? That's all these 13 years. Always the boy who remained like a dumb person, not all answering. That is all answering. No, his answer came in the form of a verse. Proof we have today. The answer came in the form of a verse, verse form, poetic form. You know, how many verses? 12 verses. It is like all the 12 verses, you what now? This is a Vedanta given in a condensed form. Okay? A condensed milk we have, essence of Vedanta, given in a nutshell, like, okay, is what is 12 verses. That's why verses, he recited those verses, spontaneously he expressed all those verses. And because every verse, and each verse ended with a nice sentence, Nitya Upalabdhi Surupaha Aham Atma. That's the last verse. Because these verses have essence of Vedanta, there's an expression called Hasta Amalakam. Amalakam means a gooseberry, you know, gooseberry. You can't have a real original proper gooseberry, not a hybrid variety. The original actual gooseberry is only small. Nice gooseberry will be of this size, not even this size. What we get nowadays is a hybrid variety, okay? And gooseberry, you can't hold pumpkin in front. Big pumpkin, can you hold it here? You can't hold a pumpkin. But a small gooseberry, you can hold it here. You can hide it like this. Cover it like this. Understand? Similarly, that's why hasta amalakam. Haste sthapitam amalakam. The gooseberry which has been placed on your palm, which can be covered and kept like this. Like that, hasta amalakam iva, like the gooseberry which can be kept and covered, kept in the palm and covered with fingers, similarly, the entire Vedanta Sara, the essence of the entire Vedanta Shastra, no, has been given where? In these 12 verses. These 12 verses contain the essence of Vedanta. Like what? Like the gooseberry kept in his hand. Therefore, Adi Shankara named that Acharya. We don't know what his name was before, okay? Really, we don't know. That day onwards, Adi Shankara gave him a name. Atya Arabhya Tava Nama Hastamalaka Acharya Haiti. Today onwards, your name is Hastamalaka Acharya. Hasta Amalaka Acharya. Ullanga Nellikani Pol, in Tamil we have this. Understand? Anything you have, anything, essence of everything is given. Essence of the entire Vedanta is given in 12 verses. No? That is why he is called Hasta Amalaka Acharya. Hasta Amalaka Acharya. And the verses, his verses, the verse which came out of his mouth, his mind, and have been commented upon by Adi Shankara, and which is that commentary on Hastamalaka Acharya's these verses is called Hastamalakiyam, the Bhashyam. Okay, Hastamalakiyam means only the commentary, not Hastamalaka's words. I just thought, maybe I just can take today. I do one or two verses, one verse at least. Tomorrow, then I can do just to make you understand whatever we have started learning here. So, to express somebody, this is an expression of the ascertained vision of the reality, and this ascertained vision of reality implies what? His contemplation, nidhyasana. And which implies the prior knowledge of the nature of the reality. And reality has to be such as it has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. What is the swarupam of the reality? How will you understand? What is the reality? Reality itself has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Why? Because it is the subtlest vastu. And how will you understand its reality in terms of its swarupam? Understanding its swarupam is understanding the reality. Understand? Understanding the swarupam, the nature, intrinsic. Nature is what? Understanding how the reality is. That is why the methodology is very important. Understand? Anyway, so here, the first verse becomes like this. So Adi Shankara asks, suppose, who are you? If somebody comes and asks us, who are you? And we have big biography also we write. All about us. And biography, look at this, biographies. Anyway, actually, studying the Bhashyam is a really great thing. But we are not going to the Bhashyam now. That we will keep it for future. Okay? We only do just the verse. And if you see, because Hastamalakiyam is the Bhashyam, and Shankara begins his Bhashyam with few invocatory verses. I am not doing those verses, nor am I doing the Bhashyam. We are going straight to the verse. Bhashyam is for the later on class. Only the verse we'll do now. It's called Hastamalakiya Moolam. Moolam is the original verses by Hastamalaka Acharya. So, who are you? When he asks, who are you means, actually can to say, everything is, suppose if you go and ask the wave, who are you? Or what are you? When the wave says, I the wave am water or H2O, what does it mean? Every wave is water. So, I am also water. That doesn't mean only I am water, everything else is something different. It doesn't mean that. If a wave happens to say, I am the water, the wave very well means there is nothing other than water. Everything else is what? Every other wave also is nothing but water. That is very, that has to be similarly. If a great jnani says, Aham Atma, what does it mean? Every thought form is awareness, consciousness. Am always what? Awareness. Understand? Am, the knowledge that I am is also what? Every thought is awareness, consciousness. Every Aham Atma means what? Everything is Atma. Please understand, it's very important. Aham Atma means I am Atma, everything else is Anatma. Don't say that, okay? I am Atma means everything else is Atma. Because some people have this confusion. Oh, I am Atma. I am Atma. What about others, other things? Everything else is Atma. In fact, there is nothing other than Atma. All that is, there is only the Atma, which is Brahman. That must be the right understanding. And it is this vision where one resolves everything as mithya without undoing anything. Is there any necessity for undoing anything? No. Do you need to undo anything here? Is it possible to undo anything here? Please think. That is why dropping off the mind, killing away of the mind, undoing the mind. Understand? So people talk about in meditation, we do all this, drop thought after thought. Why should you drop thought after thought? Where will you drop it? And who is the dropping? Who is the one who is going to drop it? Why should you drop it? A lot of confusions. That is why here, without undoing anything, without dropping anything, just having everything as it is, resolving it is in fact having the ascertained vision of the oneness of reality. That is where you also resolve what? This smallness centered on I come to this now. I started in the morning, I have come to this now. This is how the smallness centered on I can be resolved. There's no way of resolving this smallness centered on I, which is the problem. Understand? The smallness centered on I is resolved. The smallness centered on anything else also will be resolved. Because, understand, to have anything, there must be two things must be there. Oh, I'm not small. Everything else is small. Can you say that? He is small. Other person is small. Look at, where is the other person? Where is you? Where is you? Okay, where are you? Where is the other person? Therefore, resolving the smallness centered on I means, in fact, that is where the real, total, perfect objectivity comes. Okay? Objectivity is freedom. Jivan Muktihi. That is why he could behave like a mad person. Hasta Malaka. Don't think all mad people are Jivan Muktihi. So he says, and he, look at this, how he says, who are you? Kastvam Bala, kimevam jadavat pravartate. Astamalka says, Nimittam anaschakshuradipravruttau, Nimittam anaschakshuradipravruttau, Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah, Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah, Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Ahamatma. 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 Ahamatma.
Nimittam. Say that.
Nimittam.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Chakshuhu.
Chakshuhu.
Adi.
Adi.
Pravruttau.
Pravruttau.
Nirastha.
Nirastha.
Akhila.
Akhila.
Upadihi.
Upadihi.
Akasha kalpaha.
Akasha kalpaha.
Okay, one explanation is over. What is this Atma? No, Aham Atma. Kastvam was the question. What was the answer? Aham Atma. Who are you? Okay, I, the self, am the consciousness. That means what? That answer implies all that is there is only consciousness. I am consciousness, everything else is also what? Consciousness. That is what is Atmajnana. Aham Atma. And what is this Atma? Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Nitya Upalabdhi. Upalabdhi means what? That which is always available. Upalabdhi Swarupaha. That which is there as easiness. That which is there as, okay, what is it which is there as easiness? Upalabdhi Swarupaha. When you say anything you see, anything you hear, anything you say is. When you say form is, light is, color is, okay, sound is, smell is, taste is, anything you say is means what? Is implies what? Knowledge of something is. Okay, light is means light, knowledge is, isn't it? Please think. Light is means light, knowledge is. Sun is means sun, knowledge is. Darkness is means darkness, knowledge is. Flower is, flower, knowledge is. Color is, color, knowledge is. Sound is, sound, knowledge is. And sound, knowledge is means what? Sound, awareness is. Light is, light, knowledge is means light, awareness is. Understand? So is there anything, any object which is without awareness? Tell me. Light is, light, awareness is. Sound is, sound, awareness is. Form is, form, awareness is. Color is, color, awareness is. Smell is, smell, awareness is. In all the objects are different. Sound, color, form, light, board, everything. But in all of them, what is one thing which is the same thing? Awareness. Isn't it? Awareness is objects are different. The perceived objects of knowledge are different. But in all of them, what is one thing which is similar? Which is common? What is that? What is one thing which is common? Awareness. That is why we say invariably present in all the variables. Understand? Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Okay, Aham Atma. And he says, Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Atma. And he says, what is it Atma again? He explains here. Nimittam. Nimittam is what? No, that which is instrumental. That which is like the cause. Nimittam. Like we can say, suppose for all these opaque objects to come to light, what is nimittam here? No, sun. Sun is the nimittam. Nimittam means without the sun, no, nothing can come to light. Similarly, nimittam. Nimittam what? That which is, that which activates. Everything he says here, manaha. See, the function of mentation, is it possible without awareness, without consciousness? Okay, rising of the wave and resolving of the falling of the wave happens. What is that nimittam there? You know, H2O. Similarly, see, for the manaha, for the function of mentation, for the different thoughts to, no, rise and resolve, different varieties of thought forms to rise and resolve, what must be there? What is there as the nimitta? Without which this the function of minding cannot take place.
Now the function of mind means evil, without which there cannot be such a state of experience called deep sleep state of experience called dream state, waking state. All this, the function of minding also cannot take place, without which that becomes the nimittam of the manasaha pravruttihi. Understand? The activation of the mind. Manasaha pravruttihi. So he says, manaha. Then chakshuhu. Chakshuhu means what? The sense power. The power of seeing is chakshuhu. And adi stands for what? Etc. All the other five sense powers. What is that because of which all these five sense powers are activated? The functions, function of seeing, function of hearing, function of smelling, etc. is possible. That because of which the function of mentation is possible. And he says, that's why. Not only the Adi Shabda stands for, Shankara writes in his Bhashyam, Chakshuhu Adi means it stands for all 10 Indriyas. Also we have to say Pranas also. Chakshuradi Manaha. Chakshuradi means what? Karmendriyani, Gyanendriyani, Pranaha in Pravrutav. In the activation of all these, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, the mind, etc., all of them, pravruttau, then nimittam. So that which is involved, that without which the function of minding, mentation, function of seeing, function of hearing, etc., cannot take place. That without which all these organs of the powers of organs of actions cannot exist or cannot function. And that without which the function of all these physiological functions cannot take place at all. That is said to be manaha chakshuhu adi pravruttau nimittam yaha. Understand? Nimittam. That which is responsible for the activation of all these things. He says, nirasta akhila upadhihi. Nirasta akhila upadhihi means what? In fact, that which is devoid of all the upadhis. Look at this. For H2O, look at this. Wave is the name and form, okay, which is an upadhi. But really speaking, when you perceive it, we say upadhi for the water. Wave, the name and form, is upadhi for the water. Really speaking, does the water have a form? No. Water does not have upadhi. In our perception, we look at it. Like that here also, nirastha akhila upadhihi. When there is ignorance of knowledge, ignorance of this reality, then we can say, mind is an upadhi. Mind is an upadhi. And the sense powers become upadhi. All our subtle body becomes upadhi. Gross body becomes an upadhi. How many upadhis? Everything becomes a limiting adjunct. Everything becomes an upadhi here. All these are upadhis when there is ignorance. Really speaking, consciousness as such does not have any free from all upadhis. Consciousness, the pure awareness, is free from all upadhis. All upadhis have their very existence where? In awareness. Understand? That's why nirastha akhila upadhihi. Nirastha means that which is devoid of, that which is free from all the upadhis. All this nirastha akhila upadhihi. Akhila means all upadhis. Then we say akasha kalpaha. Akasha kalpaha means what? Akasha, that which is like the space. Akasha kalpaha, that which is like the space means what? Like space has no spatial limitation. That space is all pervasive. Space is free from spatial limitation. Similarly, tell me which place exists outside of awareness. Which place does exist outside of pure awareness? Understand? I tell you, space alone is free from spatial limitation. We can say everything which exists, a given location has spatial limitation. Space alone is free from spatial limitation, but this awareness is free from spatial limitation, and it exists everywhere. Therefore, it's all pervasive, like Gagan. In a shloka, we have Gagana Sadrusham. Gagana means space. That which is similar to space, that which is as all pervasive as the space. Like that here, Akasha Kalpaha. Not only that, nothing which exists in space can pollute, contaminate the space. Now, space always is pure and clean. Nothing which exists in space can cause an impurity in space. Bring up any dirt, add any dirt or this thing to the space. That is why we say, it's space, we always say, it cannot be purified. Atma is purity by itself. Consciousness, pure awareness, cannot be polluted, contaminated, okay, by anything. Nothing can pollute the space. I tell you, we think, no, if pollutions are, they very exist in space. But space is not polluted by this, anything which exists in space. Akasha Kalpaha means what? That which is ever pure and uncontaminated, polluted by anything which exists in, that is why Atma is purity by itself. Because what is Atma? The pure consciousness, the pure awareness. The way you say Akasha Kalpaha, that which is all pervasive and spatially limitless, and which cannot be purified, and which is purity by itself. That is Akasha Kalpaha. So Manaha, Chakshuhu, Indriyani, understand? Pranaha, Yetesham, Sarvesham, Pravruttam, Nimittam, Yaha. Okay? The one who is instrumental, without which, instrumental means what? The one, because the presence of which any function is possible. That is why it says, because minus awareness, jadam, everything is jadam, inert. So he has to say here, nirastha akhila upadhihi akasha kalpaha. He says, yatha ravihi loka cheshta nimittam. Yatha, and you have tatha also, is yatha means just as, yepadiyo. Okay, just as the sun is, without doing any action. Look at this, very beautiful this is. Swarupa again is brought in. Yatha, ravihi means suyan. Yatha, just as, ravihi, the sun, just by its presence, becomes a cause for the activation of the universe. Loka cheshta nimittam bhavati. We say sun is instrumental in activating this universe. Sun becomes cause for the activation of the universe. Sun becomes the cause for the activation of the universe means how does sun do any action? No. Sun just by its presence. And that's why Atma is also called Viraj. Viraj means what? Virat. Virat means what? That which shines. Because Raja should not come and give orders to other people. Raja should only sit and see things should happen. If he orders, then he is not a Raja. He should not exert a little bit. Okay? Then he is a Raja. King means who is a king? Who is the queen? Who is the king? There should be even little bit of exertion on the part of the Raja. Raja means king. Just Raja sits there and sees like this. Everything, every supervisor, every minister should be doing their duties correctly. Okay? That is why Bhagavan has a kind of Viraj, Virat. Should be talking. Once somebody starts instructing, others have to be made to do on instructions means then problem. A lost respect. No talking, no instructing, just being. Everything happens. Like that, sun also is there, ravihi. Ravihi is there, sun is there. What action does the sun do? Nothing. But minus this sun, imagine what loka cheshta can take place. What worldly activities can take place. Can there be any worldly activities minus the sun? Nothing. Nothing will work minus the sun. Just the presence. sannidhi matrena, just by being present, okay, sun becomes instrumental in activating, by not without doing any karma, by its very swarupam, by its mere presence, by mere existence, sun becomes instrumental in activating the whole jagat, whole universe. Loka cheshta nimittam yatha ravihi. Yatha ravihi bhavati. Tatha, similarly, the one yaha, he who becomes instrumental without doing any action. He means, why he here, don't think Atma is masculine gender, okay, Atma is a man then. It's another problem. Atma, the word is masculine gender word. Understand? The reality implied by the word Atma happens to be the masculine gender word. We have to say use yaha. Yaha means he who. He who, okay, by mere presence, by mere existence, becomes instrumental in activating the manaha, chakshuhu, indriyani, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, everything. Not only these indriyani, and also all the functions. Look at this. Everything, the function which happens in all the devatas. Okay, sun is a sun, moon is a moon, the wind blows. Because of the presence of which, the wind blows, the rain, it rains, the clouds get formed, the sun shines, the moon, okay, reflects, and all the stars glitter, okay, everything happens, the earth yields, that all the beings are alive because of the presence of which. It doesn't do any action, and that is what is the reality. Understand? Yaha. What is that? Like that, he who becomes instrumental, the activation, the functioning, the enlivening of everything that is in this world, that he says here, yaha. Saha, that nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. Okay, that reality is what? That reality, I, the Self, am that reality which is all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. I am that Atma. You could discuss whom? Bala. Who are you, so boy? Nimittam manas chakshurari pravruttau. Somebody gives an answer like this. Nirastha kilopa dhirakasha kalpaha. Saviloka cheshta nimittam yathayaha sa nityopalabdhi swaroopoham atma aham atma aham atma aham atma aham atma. That means what? Aham atma ityukte sarvam atma. Another, you have to say that. Aham atma means everything is atma. Whoever says, I am the Lord, the other person should know everything is the Lord. I am the Lord, you are not the Lord. Somebody says, that person is not the Lord. Understand? That is why something, vision, this is the fact about every being. This is to be understood. Somebody says, I am the Lord, one can very well say, no problem. The one who says, I am the Lord, should also say, everything is the Lord. Everything is Ishvara. Then that is correct. That is vision. So, aham, atma. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha atma. That is why, how is it? Every time you say, I know. Whenever you say, I know. Every time you say, I know. What is that which knows? Understand? Is awareness. That is why there is no time when awareness is not. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha means that which is always. That which is always. That which is always is awareness. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. That which is of the nature of awareness which is always. Look at this. That which is of the nature of awareness, pure awareness, which is always. What is which is always? Pure awareness. There is no time awareness is not. There is no time when awareness is not. Understand? There is no time when awareness is not. Please remember this. There is no time the pure awareness is not. Can you say that? When awareness is not? Tell me. When the awareness is not? I mean, awareness is not means pure awareness. There is no time. In sleep, awareness is there or not? Tell me. You are not aware of the awareness being there. Okay? You are not aware of the awareness being there. What is there is only pure awareness. That is why if you are aware of the awareness being there, that is not deep sleep state. Understand what is the deep sleep state? Deep sleep state is that when you are not aware of the awareness being there. Understand? Then in dream state, awareness is there or not? Dream is means what dream awareness is. And waking state, awareness is there or not? In waking state, awareness is not there if you say you are not again aware of the awareness being there, then you will be chained and medicated, okay? And
secure.
Ama. Then somebody else has to look after and feed like a child and all that. Therefore, there's no time. There's no time. Awareness always is there. With Jagat. Look at this. With the Jagat, awareness is. With the Jagat is not always what? Awareness is. That is why Swamiji also gives the example that, I don't know whether you, which shloka you have come across in Bhagavad Gita, you can say that. When you say pot is, pot awareness is. Oh, pot is broken, oh, pot is not there. Pot is not awareness is. Awareness is always there. There is no time awareness is not. When you say awareness means the pure awareness. There is no time. Please think. This is how repeatedly listening to this only about it, the mind has to become subtle. And you have to start understanding. There is no time when this pure awareness is not. There is nitya upalabdhisvarupaha. Understand? Nitya upalabdhisvarupaha, the pure awareness. That is all pervasive. That is the self. So I, the self, and the pure awareness is always there, and which becomes instrumental in activating the mind, you know, the activation of the mind, senses and pranas and everything, just as the sun now becomes instrumental for the activation of the universe without doing anything, just by its presence. Understand? That is why we say that is Atma. I am only doing the meaning of the verse, not the Bhashyam. And so, because Bhashyam will help you to understand something more than this. So, you can say Yaha. You can say, do the poetry like this. Yaha. See the third line and take that word. Yaha.
Manaha.
Chakshuradi pravruttau.
Chakshuradi pravruttau.
Nimittam.
Nimittam.
You can say, yatha.
ravihi lokachesta nimittam tatha yaha manaha chakshuradi pravruttau nimittam. Just as so, yatha ravihi lokachesta nimittam tatha yaha manaschakshuradi pravruttau nimittam. Yaha nirasta akhila upadihi yaha akasha kalpaha saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. I the self am that, ever available pure awareness which is instrumental, in the activation of the universe. Just as the sun is that, without doing anything, just by its presence, sun becomes, nimittam for the activation of the universe. Similarly, because the presence of which everything becomes activated, that self, which is like akashaha, is pure like akashaha, that's pure awareness, the self I am. This is the first verse. And here, the Bhashyam will go on like this. Suppose if you say, that is fine here, you talk about the knowledge. No, that means the source of knowledge is, this reality. You say, Atma is of the nature of knowing. Simply, to create some doubt in you, even if you don't think. No, sometimes acharyas, always they make us think. We don't think, we don't have any doubts also. And even if, whether you have understood or we have not understood, but still sometimes doubts don't come at all. And then so sometimes they make us think that we'll have some doubts. You say, Atma is of the nature of knowing. Knowing is the swarupam. So Atma is the word which implies the reality. And Brahman is the word which implies the reality. And then which is to be understood in terms of its swarupam. There is no other way of arriving at that vastu. Only in terms of its swarupam. And we know the swarupam is knowing. That is why we have to search for all these things. That is fine. But that means knowledge is Brahma. Knowledge is Atma. You can say this. Then this knowledge, doubt comes. Knowledge of an object takes place in the mind. Knowledge of a gift. What is this? This is a rose. This is a rose is what? Knowledge. Understand? There is light. Is what? Knowledge. And this knowledge is what? Vrittihi. Antakarana vrittihi. Knowledge is a thought form. Look at this. Knowledge of any given object is only a thought form. Listen to me carefully, please. Knowledge of a given object is only a thought form. And this knowledge, what happens to this knowledge? When there is object, we say there is that. Object goes. Suppose you say knowledge, this is light, when you say. It becomes dark. After a few hours, it will become dark. It becomes dark, then there won't be light. When the object goes, the light goes, knowledge also what? It goes. Isn't it? Knowledge of that object goes. So knowledge is also what now? Time bound. Knowledge becomes what? Time bound. Along with the object is not there, knowledge of that object also, you can't say again there is light. That vritti goes, that form vritti goes. Therefore, can we say then, if Atma is jnanam, jnana swarupam, then can we say Atma also comes and goes? Simply some small doubt. Because there is a confusion between two things. That's why the knowledge which rises in the mind is called a vritti jnanam. the knowledge which rises in the mind as the thought, okay, as a thought form, is called vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means what? Any thought form is called vrittihi. Vrittihi antahkarana vrittihi. Any thought form, when you say wave rises in the ocean, that means what? Every wave is ocean, isn't it? Every wave is ocean. But how do you say, how do we express wave rises in the ocean? Similarly, here also, a thought form arises in the mind. Every thought is what? Mind. And what is a thought form? A thought form, what is it called in Sanskritam? Vrittihi. No, vrittihi. And what do we can say? Vrittihi, or we call it antahkarana vrittihi. Vrittihi or antahkarana vrittihi. This antahkarana vrittihi is what? So knowledge of anything is antahkarana vrittihi. Suppose you know so many things. If you are given to the discipline of study of a given discipline, you have knowledge in that given discipline. That knowledge also is what? The form of antahkarana vrittihi. So knowledge of an object is what? Antahkarana vrittihi. Understand? Knowledge of the subject also is what? Antahkarana vrittihi. Knowledge of an object is a thought. Knowledge of subject also is what? A thought. Isn't it? Knowledge of the vastu also is thought only. A rational of thought. But here we say, but what about the reality? What about the consciousness? And there, knowledge is not a thought, it's a swarupam. Knowing is not an action, it is not a function. Understand? Knowing is very swarupam. That is why swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnanam is everlasting. Whereas vritti jnanam comes and goes. Vritti jnanam is a thought form which rises and resolves in awareness, which is of the nature of knowing. Which rises and resolves in the reality, which is of the nature of knowing. I'm repeating again. Knowledge, the vritti jnanam, is a thought form which rises and resolves in the reality, which is of the nature of knowing. That is why we call reality as what? The source of knowledge. The origin of knowledge. Is it clear now? What is the source of knowledge? What is the origin of knowledge? Origin of knowledge, the source of knowledge. Where does the wave rise? If you say, wave rises, what is the origin from which the wave rises? Similarly, what is the origin from which the thought form, in the form of, the knowledge in the form of a thought rises? Knowledge dawns. Where does it happen? We say, it happens only not outside of awareness. That is why that knowledge which rises is called antahkarana vrittihi, and the source of knowledge which is of the nature of knowing is what? The reality, the pure awareness. That is called surupa jnanam, is reality. Vritti jnanam is a thought. Surupa jnanam is like H2O. Okay, vritti jnanam is like a wave. Vritti jnanam and the swarupa jnanam. That is why we say the source of all any knowledge of anything happens to be the vritti. Vritti jnanam. So the source of any knowledge happens to be consciousness. We say all knowing. Understand? Any detailed knowledge, where does it exist? Any amount of details of any object, where does it exist? Not outside of awareness. That is why, who is all-knowing? Tell me. Who is all-knowing?
omniscient. Understand now? That's why we give the Ishvara is all knowing. Consciousness is the source of all knowledge. All detailed knowledge also is not outside of consciousness. General knowledge also is not outside of consciousness. That is why we say sarvajnyatvam, okay, sarvavetrutvam, all knowing. People get confused about all these things. That is why please understand, if anyone's mind has understood what is the reality, which is of the nature of knowing, okay, and which is the source of any knowledge, you can 100% can very clearly say without any doubt, source of any knowledge, any amount of knowledge is what? Nothing other than consciousness. If you know what is the what consciousness is, how consciousness is, if you know, still you can continue to be ignorant of many things. Understand? Knowledge of the source of knowledge does not make one, okay, the knower of everything, every other discipline. Understand now? That is why it is possible for one, this is because a lot of people have confusions about it. The all-knowing person knows everything. There are some people who can read minds. Very cheap business that is. Reading mind, okay? Very, very ordinary thing. Knowing, reading minds. That is some possible. Not all the minds. Everybody cannot read all them. There's nobody who can read every mind, okay? Sometimes because some powers, some sort of practices, they can read somebody, some people's minds. So being able to read others' minds sometimes does not make you an omniscient. I mean, all-knowing. Because a lot of confusions are there in this. Oh, if one knows Brahman, one knows the reality, then can we say that person has knowledge of physics, chemistry, botany, biology, without going to university, studying anything, they can know everything? He can do operation, can cure people, all these things. I tell you, this is not possible. This is not possible. One does not become an all-knowing. That is why we Shastram uses two words. Please listen carefully. One who knows, one who understands the reality, the truth of the entire Jagat in terms of its Swarupam. Okay, as the very self, which is of the nature of knowing, and having understood that, constantly dwelling upon or contemplating upon that nature, one can ascertain the vision of that reality. Thereby one can resolve one's antakkaram and the whole Jagat in terms of understanding as mithya. Such a person, we can say, he is all-knowing. All-knowing means what? Sarvajnaha. So all-knowing means what? One who knows the truth of everything. That's all. It does not mean he knows every detail of everything. That's why we have another word, sarvavit. Sarvajnaha means one who is all-knowing. One who knows everything is sarvajnaha. One who knows everything also is known as what? Sarvavit. And why should we use two words? Upanishad makes it very clear. You can use the word sarvajnaha to mean the one who knows the truth of everything, or the one who knows the reality being the source of any knowledge. That's all. When sarvavitta means one who knows everything in detail, one who has the knowledge of everything, all the details, that is why we say that is only goes to what? Awareness, consciousness. That is, we have to know the limitation of every mind. Knowledge has to take place in the mind, buddhi. Antakkaram. Understand? Like ocean, wave has to rise in the ocean. Similarly, knowledge has to take place in the mind. And for that mind, it has limitation. But what is this mind? So, this mind can definitely accomplish its. It can discover its own truth by discovering the discoverer. The mind can know its own truth, discover the truth of itself. By discovering the discoverer, that's why I say, then what happens? That is how the smallness sent on I will be resolved. That is why Shastram says, know thyself. Why know thyself means what? Know thyself. That's why simply asking questions, who am I, will not take you anywhere, will not help you to understand any answer. No answer you can get. Is it okay? Is it time for break?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You deserve one.